Tonight we're going to do chapter 16. Last time we kind of looked at the beginning of the bowls, really was the vision of chapter 15, when the seven angels with the seven last plagues. John had two visions. He had a vision in 1 through 4, and then he had a vision in 5 through 8. And the bowls were really, we talked about last time, for collecting the blood of sacrifices. So we're going to see in 16 tonight, we're going to turn our attention to really Babylon. Now, on your outline, you'll notice that we make a switch. We're going to really get in tonight to the seven, to the bowls. Last week we did the introduction of the seven angels with the seven plagues, and these are the last plagues that will come upon man. Now we're going to start in 16. We're going to look at the nature of the seven bowls. And again, please hold your questions till the end, and hopefully we can have some good discussion. It would probably help if I got to the book of Revelation. Yes. What? Okay. Okay, so then I heard a loud voice. Heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So here we have the beginning of the pouring out. And really this is some thoughts about these plagues. As we go through them tonight, this rapid fire, they happen rapidly in succession. There's only a brief dialogue between the third angel and the altar. These plagues are very reminiscent of the plagues on Egypt. They have a totaling effect. Every living thing died, and they are related to the suffering of man. The first four, They cover nature, such as the sea, the earth, the rivers, the sky. And the final three are social and spiritual. What they depict is the righteous judgment of God upon the world. So that's verse 1. Now in verse 2, we see the pouring out of the bowls. And we go through here. There's going to be seven of them all the way through the end of the chapter. So we'll do 21 verses here tonight. And all these bowls are in reference to the wrath of God. So when these plagues come, this will be totally devastating. So the first angel, verse 2, first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth. And a harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped the image of the beast, basically. The first bowl, you'll notice that these are sores upon man. Again, if you go back and look at Exodus chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, you'll see a parallel there with the plagues of boils that were inflicted on the Egyptians then. And these sores will be painful. We move now to the second bowl. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea. So we have the earth, now we have the sea. And it became like blood, like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. And again, notice here, all creatures died. And this was similar to when Moses turned the sea into blood. So anyway, we have that second bowl. The third one now, in verse 4, and the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. So here you have a mingling there, it looks like, of the third with the second. And they became blood. So in verses 4 through 7 here, the plague affects the fresh water, which is basically essential for human life. They too become polluted with blood. Notice verse 5, and I heard an angel in charge, this is verse 5, heard an angel in charge of the water say, just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought forth these judgments. So this angel, who is in charge of this, is giving glory to God. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." So here you have this dialogue that takes place between, this is the only other time the angel speaks. He has a conversation between the angel and the throne. Now, the drinking of blood, a lot of scholars believe that drinking of blood was retribution for the blood of the saints that were killed. Thus, with the drinking of the blood, God vindicates the blood of the martyrs of Christ. So there seems to be a turnabout of what happened to the martyrs. God seems to be repaying them now by having to drink blood. And of course, if you don't have water, I don't know how many days, Karen probably know more about this than I would, but I think you can go about 3 days without water and then you get into trouble. So it's going to be a bad situation. In verses 8 and 9, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. So here we have an effect of the earth, the seas, and now apparently the sky is getting involved. And it was allowed to scorch the people with fire. And again, if you go back and look at the plagues, you remember when hail fell from the sky upon the people, there was a burning effect that took place there. So some scholars believe that this is a repeat of the plagues on Egypt. And I can see where they get the parallels. But anyway, there's scorching men with fire in verses 8 and 9. And they were scorched by fierce heat. And they cursed the name of God. And this is fascinating. They cursed the name of God. So obviously these people knew it was God bringing the judgments. They cursed the name of God who had the power over these plagues. And notice that last line, they did not repent and give him glory. Shocking. In light of the fact that they know that this judgment is coming from God, it's very clearly, they know that this is the God who had the power over these plagues, yet they did not repent. And I think by way of practical application, where we should be encouraged, or maybe not discouraged, when we tell others about Christ, if they wouldn't do it in the end times, even when God smote the earth, it shouldn't surprise us when people reject the gospel when they don't see this. They don't see this coming. So, I guess an encouragement would be that if they say no to you, just think they say no even at the end times. So even when all this stuff is unfolding before their eyes, and so anyway, I want to encourage you that when they say no to you, it's common, but these people are really, really rebellious. So now we have, we move now to the fifth bowl. And the fifth bowl is afflicting the kingdom of the beast with darkness. And again, in Egypt, you remember darkness covered the earth. So here again, the scholars are thinking that this is, that actually the plagues on Egypt were a foreshadowing of this event. Notice the kingdom of beast is thrown into the darkness in verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish. So this beast, obviously is probably Satan, is then thrown into the darkness. A lot of scholars believe there was a connection there with Pergamum, but I'm not sure about that. The throne of the beast symbolizes the seat of world dominion or the satanic realm. And then in verses 10b through 11, the world's response. They are in agony. They curse God because of their pain. And yet they still refuse to repent. Notice in verse, they gnawed and their tongues in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. It's kind of like when Pharaoh saw all this happening, he still would not let the people of Egypt go. And again, you have this scenario where it's being compared to that of Moses. And of course, we've seen Moses' name brought up in the book, so the scholars naturally make that connection. Now, the sixth bowl, then verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. So in verse 12, the Euphrates dries up, paving the way for demonic kings from the east. And many scholars believe, and I'm careful to say many scholars, the Euphrates represents the preparation of the evil forces to fight with the sovereign God. And the Euphrates is located in Babylon, and that's why they believe this section and the next section refer to Babylon. Of course, there's other connections too. Anyway, in verse 12, the Euphrates dries up. Scholars think that that's the kings from the east will be coming. And then notice in verse 13, and I saw, this is verse 13, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. This is like the plague of frogs on Egypt too. That's where they get that connection. The three frogs out of the mouth. Evil spirits come out of their mouth. That means they're unclean. By the way, and I did some looking on this, Jews considered frogs unclean. So the Jews would have been pretty familiar with this. The frog was a symbol of godlessness and generally was a term frowned on by the Jewish culture. In verse 14, those that worship the Lamb were warned to keep alert lest they fall into satanic deception. In verse 14, we read, "For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty." So there is an element here of warning to the people of God to be prepared, because these three frogs that come out are not going to be speaking the truth. And so there needs to be an awareness of the deception. And then in verse 15, he says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." So in other words, this is in compliment to verse 14, telling them don't believe this deception that is coming. And now we come to the seventh bowl. The seventh bowl starts in verse 17, goes through 21. And in verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." Maybe a good translation is complete. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings. That sounds very familiar to what happened at Mount Sinai. There were flashes of lightning and rumbling, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as has never been since man was on the earth. So great was the quake. So there's this huge earthquake that takes place. This is at the conclusion of the seventh bowls. That's the way that I take it. The great city was split into three parts. In verse 19, that probably represents the nation's collapse. The great city was split into three parts. The nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great. And of course, when we get in, we're talking in 16, obviously, about the plagues. But in 17 and 18, we'll get into Babylon. Particularly in 17, there is a political mixed with a religious element that comes in 17. And then, of course, Babylon is destroyed in 18. So anyway, "And every island will flee away," verse 20. "No mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, each fell from heaven on the people. And they cursed God for the plagues of hail, because the plagues was so severe." So here you have this judgment upon the earth. Anyway, those are some thoughts that each person had hardened their hearts towards God, and of course that's also reminiscent of Pharaoh. So 30 minutes done.